Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, sometimes in science, in scientific research, metaphors can be useful to making sense of things. A good metaphor is worth a lot. It makes you think in a different way, and it allows you to make sense of something in a way that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. It allows something to click. And I think I've come across one, and this is in a very interesting article called The Hunter-Gatherer Fitness Model of Human of Political Ideology by Windsor Swan, which has been published in Aporia online magazine. And essentially, to sum it up, the idea is something like this. Conservatives are the winners in the hunter-gatherer world. Who are at the top of the hierarchy, who get all the resources and therefore want to conserve what they have and are therefore in favour of the hierarchy, which they, being skillful and brilliant hunter-gatherers, are able to ascend. And liberals are the losers in the hunter-gatherer hierarchy. They are the people lower down the hunter-gatherer hierarchy who therefore want to find ways of extracting resources from the winners in the hunter-gatherer hierarchy. And because we have two sets of moral foundations, we humans, on the one hand, we want to get to the top of the hierarchy, but on the other hand, we have to be able to maintain a functioning group in order to survive. We have to maintain this balance, as it were, essentially, between hierarchy and power and order on the one hand, as individuals, and a functioning social group which has elements of equality and whatever, which keeps people that are the losers really on board on the other. And that's basically pretty much, as far as I can see, what he's saying. And I think it's quite a good point. So he notes that we are, for most of our history, we have been hunter-gatherers. And so this is maintained within our minds and our bodies. And in order to survive as hunter-gatherers, you have to be physically strong. You have to have a strong immune system. And you have to be resistant to parasites. If you are strong and you are... And you are resistant to parasites and you have good health and so forth, you are going to be a good hunter-gatherer and you are going to ascend to the top of the hierarchy, and females are going to be sexually attracted to you. And if you are a female and you evidence good genetic health via being a good immune system, resistance to parasites, by being good looking and pretty and so forth, then you will get a husband who is high up the hierarchy, and you will have more resources, and you'll be more likely to pass on your genes, and you'll attain these resources, get up to the top of the hierarchy, and you'll want to conserve these resources for you and the interests of you and your family and your descendants. On the other hand, if you are physically weak, if you are physically ill, then you will not get to the top of the hierarchy. You will not get the same access to females. You will not get the same access to resources. You will be envious of those that do get to the top of the hierarchy, and therefore you will push in favour of ways of ensuring that you obtain more resources from those that have them, i.e. you will push in favour of equality. That's the fundamental difference. And it could be argued that that's the difference between liberalism and conservatism. Conservatism is broadly concerned with hierarchy, with structure, with order, and so forth, whereas liberalism is a simplification, but is broadly concerned with equality, with social equality, and with harm avoidance, with everybody having the same and feeling equal, and so forth. Now then, if you look at the various studies of differences between conservatives and liberals, this point is backed up, and this is all cited in the article. Conservative men, on average, have stronger upper bodies than liberal men. Republican voters regard themselves as more masculine and a more conservative masculinity than our Democrat voters. Female conservative voters are more feminine and basically better looking than female Democrat voters. Of course, what that implies is that those females have better immune systems and are more resistant to parasites, because of course that being good looking is being able to maintain a symmetrical phenotype, and a pretty phenotype is a reflection of having good genetic health and being resistant to parasites, being able to fight them off, and having enough bioenergetic resources left over to be able to maintain a beautiful phenotype. Equally, a subjective fact that conservative people on average are objectively more physically attractive than our liberals. If you administer testosterone, i.e. if you make a Democrat voter feel that he's stronger, feel that he's more powerful, then he becomes more inclined to vote Republican, more inclined towards conservatism. Vaccine hesitancy is higher among conservatives than liberals, mainly because conservatives regard themselves as healthier and feel that they don't need these kinds of things. They don't need medicine. They're healthier. They see themselves as healthier, whereas liberals see themselves rightly as physically weaker and more ill. And therefore require these things. And on average, people who are conservative tend to earn more. They literally have more resources, whereas people that are liberal tend to earn less. They have less resources. And so obviously you can see why they would militate. Having less resources would cause them to militate in favour of them being pro-equality. Now, he goes into other things, other areas, which I'm not quite sure are correct, but he argues that basically... it's the divide, I suppose you could say, between do you try to get power overtly or do you try to do so in a subtle way? To do so overtly is a conservative thing, to strive for power. If you're weak, you can't strive for power openly because you'll probably be beaten up and killed, or you'll be too concerned about your own weakness to be able to dare to do that, and so you virtue signal and so forth. And so you basically become more concerned with the subtleties of socialising in order to get power, as opposed to just fighting to get power. There's a number of things here I'm not sure he's right about, but one point that he does make is that what liberals will tend to do is attack hierarchies, because if you attack a hierarchy, then you are attacking the system which the conservative is good at and which the conservative has ascended. You are creating chaos, and in that chaos you might be able you will undermine the hierarchy and therefore bring about a system where there is greater equality. And he gives an example of this as modern art. What modern art does is it basically attacks traditional hierarchies and traditional notions of beauty, and it brings about basically high levels of disgust and unpleasantness and so forth, which are conservative values. Often conservatives, being higher in health, are higher in disgust because it's adaptive to be high in disgust. And you undermine all this, and therefore in the chaos you can kind of mark out a niche and extract resources. Similarly, people who are liberal will be more in favour of welfare state because they basically can't look after themselves. They will be more in favour of a state having the monopoly on violence because they won't be able to stand up for themselves, so they want other people to stand up for them. So basically what he's reducing it down to, although there's other nuances to this, is that the liberalism is the cry of the weak, of the people that are further down the social hierarchy in hunter-gatherer terms, whereas the conservatism is the deep-throated song of the strong who are and the healthy who are higher up the hierarchy in these terms. And he also notes that increasingly now with AI and so forth, you can with 72% accuracy you can tell just from what someone looks like whether they're likely to be conservative or liberal. And this makes sense because conservatism is going to overall be a reflection essentially of genetic health, which will be reflected in a symmetrical face, in strength, and all these little markers, a low mutational load, essentially, whereas liberalism will be a reflection of poor genetic health, will be reflected in high mutational load. Now, there's obviously little more to it, because you can see how in a highly liberal society such that we are in, you could get a person who is highly intelligent, highly healthy, whatever, strong immune system, whatever, that who reasons that it's a jolly good idea to kind of pretend to be liberal in order to attain status. So you're going to get people like that. But similarly, you're going to get people that are just, even in a liberal society, the conservatism is just built into them because they are healthy and because they are strong and whatever, and they just won't be able to bring themselves to be liberal. So it leaves us asking quite a few questions, I think. But anyway, I think it was a jolly interesting article, and I will leave a link to it, and it's worth a read. And I will see you all soon, and goodbye!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you can also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!